I can remember only a very simple thing. I was produced to school, and I kicked the door down to get out of school. And it was St. Bride's, and God bless them, they didn't let me out, and my mother didn't want me back.
First memory, kicking down doors. I like that.
Oh, it was. And it was 4 or 5 years of age before primary school. And God bless them. They said, what have we got?
So, I mean, how did you enjoy your school career after that moment? Was it all uphill from there?
Oh, it was very uphill. And I can tell you, and trust me, I'm not a Catholic. Right, even though I am a Catholic and my mother and father are gorgeous Catholics, but I'm not, as my career would say. And when I was going from 11 plus, my mother and father took me to confession before I went into the thing. It didn't help because I failed my 11 plus.
That's class. So yeah, look, if you've just jumped in, hello and welcome to Best of Belfast, the podcast that celebrates Northern Ireland and the incredible people in it. We're chatting to the one and only Jazz Mooney today, and a bit of context about Jazz before we jump into the rest of the conversation. Jazz is a hugely influential publican. He built an insane portfolio of pubs during the Troubles. I'll name drop a few of them here, okay? You know, you've got Botanic Inn or The Bot. You've got The Fly Bar, the Madison's Hotel, McHugh's, The Northern Wig, Ryan's Bar and Grill, The King's Head, The Globe Bar, Apartment Bar, The Rotterdam, and the list just goes on.
Oh, stop
on and
it. On. Stop. Move on. Move on, because Belfast has moved on.
It has, tremendously. So he was trained in the University of Ulster in Jordanstown. He went traveling to Australia after college, and that's actually where Jazz has ended up living. That's where we're dialing in from today, eventually, after the transatlantic communication Wi-Fi drama that we had. But here we are. And these days he runs a great business called Peloton. They manage to serve the hospitality
you need to understand that I actually went in as a polytechnic and came out as the University of Ulster. Do you know what? The University of Ulster, most people will go the poly, and they will originate and go, the poly was the best, because when we became University of Ulster, we became something else.
Interesting. Talk a wee bit more about that in a second. So look, today's episode is part of our mini-series in collaboration with NI Connections, where we catch up with some incredible people from Northern Ireland doing interesting things all around the world on the last Monday of every month. And if you'd like to discover more amazing diaspora stories, you can check out their website, niconnections.com, where you can also sign up for their free monthly newsletter.
Oh, I love the way you do this. It's gorgeous.
Mate, I'm glad you're having a good time. I'm ready to have a good time too. It's pretty chilled and pretty relaxed, but I'm excited to hear more about your story. So I guess, like, jumping off where we were, when did you first work in a bar? You know, like, what was that early job? Was it the classic, washing dishes? You know, were you doing it whenever you were like 10? What was your connection to that whole world?
Oh, man, I was sent from the Bot to the Egg, and I was sent, and this is serious, I was sent for a bucket of steam.
Right.
And I went over to the Egg and I asked them for a bucket of steam. And then the second time that I sent somebody else over there was for a left-handed screwdriver. Unbelievable. The character of people in Northern Ireland that actually teach you is to be resilient and unbelievable. I worked for the family. I was cleaning tables, talking to people, trying to, you know, I just got to pick up glasses, and then people talk to me and go, oh, who are you, and all that. And I was the family son. But it was just extraordinary times, because remember that there was very little places at that stage in Belfast to go. There was the Bot, the Egg, the Willie Park. There was nowhere else with the student community. And just extraordinary times. And you know, bombs were going off, and just just a struggle city for everywhere. And I witnessed three bombs. And if you want to talk to me about inviting the open the door to where people walk through the door as 15 years of age doing a combi chef. And they brought in four bombs into the Willie Park Hotel and blew the absolute crap out of it. But you wouldn't know that because you're too young.
Mate, I was born in 95, child of the Good Friday Agreement. I didn't see any of this.
Mate, how good is that? Because I remember going down to the city center and, you know, the girls went one way, the boys went the other, and you had to be searched to get into the most beautiful city in the world, Belfast. It's just extraordinary. And, you know, all I can say, they must have been, for my mother and fathers and people before, must have been the most ridiculous times to bring up a family.
Mm. So, I mean, like, you start, you know, you say in the family business. What was the family business? I'm clearly missing some important information here.
Oh, family business was the bot and the willy, and the fathers fell out and all those things. But I can tell you a funny story.
We're waiting with bated breath, mate. Go ahead.
So you wouldn't understand this, but when I took over the bot, my mother and father and their guys fell out with the Willie Park guys, the Moody's and all this. But it's all good. So I knew about one thing, because when you go to Queen's University, even though I didn't go, the only place you could get a Johnny was in Queen's University back in the 1980s. So anyway, I took over the bot and I put in these machines that were there. And my mother came down and she says, "What are those machines?" And I said, "They're toothpicks and and she came back the following week and she said, "Get rid of those machines." And I says, "Well, I'll get rid of those machines, but they make £350 a week."
No.
And she says, "Leave the machines. It's all good, but I don't like them."
Oh,
so,
man.
So in Northern Ireland, with the Catholics and the Protestants and all those things, I find a way when you live in the university area with the gorgeous students, that lots of them will go bot egg, bot and Willie Park, right? Because there was nothing else. And God bless them, the Duke of York, Knicks and all that, doing fantastic work. And then guess what? Roscoff's open. Paul Rankin. What a fucking beacon he was. And then Michael Thiem. These guys were trailblazers that were extraordinary. The motion of Northern Ireland, it's just unbelievable. Mm. I go back and I see it all. But anyway, it's all so extraordinary. I'm so proud of it. Anyway, but I live in Australia. So you're saying you've left us, and I understand.
Why did you leave?
A couple of things. I'm firstly married to a Welsh girl that I met over here. And secondly, two of my kids were nearly kidnapped in a car rustle. And to be fair, my wife went, "We don't need this anymore. And we need to go somewhere else." Also, I sold the business and I went, "Am I going to be a Malone Golf Club member for life and just play that? Or am I going to do something different?"
That's great. No, I like that. You know, I was talking to a few people that, you know, we were doing this interview today, and they just talk about, you know, the bot with so much fond memories, you know, and we were kind of laughing, we were joking. We're like, "Mate, how many marriages or partnerships do you think have come about, like, through all of Jazz's spots?" Do you know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous.
Oh, mate. I'm out in Australia. I'm out in Australia and people are coming up to me and telling me I owe them money. Not owe them marriages. Owe them money. And it's shocking. It's shocking because I just look at them all and I go, oh my God, how good a time was that? And I have to tell you about the old bot. And if you look on the web, the old bot was crashed about 2 weeks ago in 1994. And we put up the big bot. And you know what? The people of Queen's University and University of Ulster, Ali, the Polly, were unbelievable. They just from Mahara, from Derry, from Armagh, from things, they just went mad. The struggle street of students trying to find more than what we had was just shocking. And you know what you've got today is just what we should have had 20 years ago, an open city centre. And it's just unbelievable. And I just look back and I go, oh my God, you had five places to go in Belfast during the bad times. And I've got to give a shout out to Bernard Lavery and Lavery's and his father and his father's before, because they were in the front line. We were in the back line. They were on the front line. And you know what? I go back to Belfast every couple of years and I just go, oh my God, this is what it should have been. And it's really unfortunate about the pandemic, because that will stall the growth and cause a lot of stuff in between. What are we? Are we in Brexit? Are we in middle of the sea and all that? It's just so sad, because Northern Ireland is going to go off the chart, and it should do because of the people, because they are absolutely unbelievable. And I miss them so much.
What's your most memorable night, in the bot?
Oh, my memorable night is when I shut down the first bot and then produced the second bot. And I decided to let everybody take the furniture. And Anita McCaw and a few guys stole vodka bottles, and which was shocking. Ali Moles, they stole everything. But to this day, they tell me about it.
I'd love to know, if anyone listens to this, please send us pictures of furniture you have from the old bot.
Mate, they're sending me pictures. Second thing, I'm going to tell you one other story.
Oh, man.
So when the bombs were going off and people were walking in and people going, you've got 45 minutes to get out, we'd always take 65 minutes to get out of the Welly Park because we were drinking our beers. And we knew the bombs were never going to go off until they did.
Mm.
So the biggest bomb that ever went off besides the Europa was in the Welly Park. And my father came down to me and he went, "Mate, you let those bombers in. You need to come down and get in the back of this Saracen and show them where they went in and all this." And I went, "All right, okay," but it was all over. And then the army went in, and God bless it, our biggest regular Brian Smith was in the bar, totally deaf, because the bomb had gone off. He hadn't gone off, and he was sitting drinking whiskey in the Welly Park Hotel when the bomb had went off and the troops went in. Every whiskey he took, he left all the money. And you guys, God bless you, would not understand about bombs going off. And I hope you do never, ever understand that again, because it was the most extraordinary time of confusion, of, oh my God, what are we? And survival.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just think it's so interesting to hear all those different stories of like what did go on in the Troubles and how people still had just that very human need to like get out and socialize and blow off some steam and, you know, find places where they could have a good time with each other and have the crack. And, you know, zooming out, like, why do you think, because you're still in hospitality today and obviously, you know, the Troubles are long behind you. Like, why hospitality for you? Like, what is it about that career that keeps you there?
Probably no choice. I surround myself with a good accountant, a good lawyer, you know, good HR person. Can I create something? Yes. How do I get there? I think I sort of know. And then I bring in the experts, and the experts are so much better than whatever I can bring to the game. What I do bring is laughter, and what I do bring is bring them together in a nice way. They charge me a fortune, which is fine, and we get on with it from there, and the result might be good. Sometimes, you know, the result is bad, and you've got to just hang in there.
What is your sort of like loose blueprint for opening up a new place? Like, you know, what's the process that you go through before you decide, yeah, that's the spot, that's the location, that's where we're going to go?
In Belfast terms, Belfast was wide open. But you need to understand in Belfast terms in the times, obviously the Wellington Park Hotel was bombed so many times. The Europa was bombed, the most bombed hotel in the world. So in the back end of that, not the front end of that, the back end of that, I was going and saying, oh, these people like to drink. These people like to socialize. There's nobody downtown. Why wouldn't I go ahead and try a few things that I've learned from London or Glasgow or and just copy nice things? The open up the place was very simply this. There was no places in Belfast. There was the pot, the Willy. The biggest thing to happen to South Belfast was when Cutter's Wharf opened. Sydney John and the Donnelly and Devlin aspect to it was the biggest thing. And I reacted to that.
Yeah, it's wild. And I think, you know, being from a smaller city, it does have its perks. You know, you can bounce around the place and there's so many different places to go. You can cover a lot of ground in the one night, you know.
Mate, now it is. But then, it was shocking. People were jumping the fences at Wellington Park Hotel to get in on a Friday and Saturday night. Crazy. God bless Hugh Murphy beating them off. I mean, it was extraordinary. You have no idea. If anybody listens to this, they will go, we're in the Bot or the Egg, and then we jump fences. We queued for an hour. I mean, why would you queue for an hour anywhere? And meanwhile, you were only been thought about, mate. You
oh, man, even... I wasn't even thought about it. Like, don't even suggest it.
But seriously, you have no idea. And then when it started to open up, we had the most famous night of July 11th. And all the people, it was horrible. There was things going on and all that. And in the fly bar, there was about 300 people on July 11th, and all the world's media was down on Sandy Row filming a car going off. Meanwhile, there was 300 people enjoying themselves in the fly bar. Just extraordinary. And you know what? That's what makes Northern Ireland extraordinary. Because even at that, we can hopefully get together. And I understand the stresses of Brexit that brings on. But you know what? Northern Ireland is one of the best places, if not the best place in the world, for people to visit. Unfortunately, they haven't had the chance to visit over the last 12 months. Golf, the beautiful Titanic Museum, I mean, and the Black Taxi Tours, those boys are the best. They bring you to all those things. It's just extraordinary. I sit and I laugh and I go, and here's your man, and here's your man, and here's your man. And go talk about your man. It's just extraordinary. And do you know what? People come out, oh, we did the Black Taxi Tour. It was the best ever in the world.
As being from Northern Ireland or being Northern Irish, did it help you in any way whenever you went, you know, across the pond to Australia?
Of course it is. Look at my accent. I mean, you know what? The Northern Ireland accent, I've seen it on the thing, is the sexiest accent in the world.
There you go.
Because at least people can understand you. If you're from Cork, people go, oh, no, 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 no. You can't understand them. But from Northern Ireland, they can. Nesbitt, the boys, they all do it so well. And you have no idea. When we had to put the masks on the pandemic here, people didn't have a clue what I was saying. When I can vocalize and they can see me, they go, oh, your accent's gorgeous. And you know, around the world, that's what they say. Your accent is absolutely gorgeous. Will I ever lose this accent? No way.
I mean, fair play to you. Like, your accent is still pretty strong for being in Australia for what? What is that, 15 years?
Yeah, g'day, mate.
Hey, you can switch in and dip out. Do you ever have to? Times I used to have to pull, I used to have to say things like trash. You know, I had to stoop to that level because no one knew what a bin was. No one knew what rubbish was. Then I came home and kept saying it and then got slagging from everyone that I met.
Mate, do you know what I miss? I miss, and this is a detriment plus a plus for the Northern Irish personality. When you come over to the big ponds and you go, we believe, but we don't believe. Yeah, so we've got this beautiful inner self of beating ourselves up when we are actually the best. We actually can fight with the best. We are the best people. And when you come here and you go, oh, my God, those people are earning $1 million or £500,000, and you go, oh my God, they're useless. I mean, it is totally extraordinary that Northern Irish people, when I meet them all over here, and Irish people, I meet them all over here, they are doing so well. And guess what? They connect to people. Yeah. And there is what I grab from Northern Ireland and bring it over here. The connection and talking and thing. I am the most non-smart person in the world, but I can connect people.
Mm. So what's the diaspora community like in Australia? You know, are there many Northern Irish people over there? Like, I'm sure they kind of randomly come out of the woodworks every now and then.
Oh, the old church. And the thing, but the pub I'm in now is really one of those pubs in downtown Brisbane where I am, even though I live in Sydney, and it's just extraordinary how word of mouth goes. Oh, you're from Northern Ireland. Oh yeah, here we go. And God bless them. I love them all. But I'm going to say to you one thing. There's good people and bad people everywhere.
Well, that's true, isn't it?
You know, like, you take people how you find them, and you take people how they actually drink and, you know, hold their drink, as you will well know, in gorgeous Belfast or wherever. And you work out people in terms of, you know, how they treat other people, and good people and bad people. But I can tell you this, that Northern Irish people have never, ever let me down in our pub.
Really?
Never, ever. And so many other people have. They've got a wit. They've got a this uncommon. Oh my God! I would even say it's an allegiance to having fun, and just extraordinary. And you know what? They've got a wit about them. I'm not sure how they're good bringing up children or anything, but in the pub environment, they are absolutely extraordinary. And I also want to give a shout out to golf, Rory McIlroy and all that. I mean, it's just extraordinary. Everybody over here in Australia is going, we need to golf in Northern Ireland.
Wow.
Because the golf courses look like the best in the world, which they are.
Wow. Do you golf much yourself?
Oh, useless.
Really? Happy Gilmore?
I try. But anybody listening to this, especially if you boys will go, they'll just laugh. So I'm going to laugh with them. And fair play to them. They should laugh at me. But it doesn't matter. Malone Golf Club, Beaver Golf Club, any golf club, Hourglass, Royal Codine, Royal Portrush. I mean, what a fantastic advert for Northern Ireland, because do you know who's looking? The big, rich Americans. They're coming. They're coming, and they will spend up big. And do you know what? That beautiful open in Royal Portrush. Oh, my God. How good was that?
Look, there's a series of kind of like stock questions we ask every single person at the end of the
interview. Don't ask me.
Oh, no. It's coming. First one's a big one. Most challenging moment so far, and how were you able to deal with it?
Oh, I'm in my most challenging moment because pandemic is horrendous for hospitalities. So I want to actually say that when I listen to my friends that have been shut down for 3 times in Northern Ireland, and I think of myself still opening, churning, because remember, when you're shut down, you need to understand what hospitals are going through. They've got no turnover. They've got no cash. Even though they might be losing money, there's no cash churning through the front doors. And I just think of them before I think of me, because this has been the most horrendous year of my life. And, you know, and then I think of them. And I think of, well, I'm not losing money, but I'm not making money. And I go at 58 years of age, what the hell am I doing to in the hard yards at this time, cutting costs left, right, and center? And you know, I live in Brisbane, my wife lives in Sydney, the borders have been closed, and I've seen her 4 times in the last year.
Crazy.
And luckily, every time I go there, she seems to still like me, but I think she likes me more when I go back up the road.
Sure, absence makes the heart grow fonder, I have to say.
Oh, my God. Jeez. But she still tells me that she loves me, and I'll trust her. I'll trust her for that. But this is the most horrendous time for hospitality, and my heart reaches out to the hospitals, the hoteliers in Northern Ireland and around the world. This is extraordinary times. Now, other people are feasting and doing well. So if you've got, you know, an off license and all, you might be doing a bit better. But I can tell you that Northern Ireland is built on the service industry. It's got a bit of IT and it's government jobs, and a few other things. But those poor hospos are doing it absolutely tough. And worse than we're doing it, because we're still open, even though the borders are closed or open as we speak. They have no turnover except for takeaway and all that. And some of them might be doing it really, really well and saying, how good is this? We don't open our doors and people pick up things and we're selling it hard. But I can tell you that God bless them. You know, my heart reaches out to every one of them because I know this has been the worst year of my life. And I can tell you that probably for most of them, it is the most worst year of their lives.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think like you said earlier on, you know, you do hold on to that hope that whenever things do open up again, you know, that there will be that up and up and up, you know.
Will be. But you young people don't get it. Young people, and thankfully, you young people hold on to this beautiful thing. Oh, I'll be better. But this is a 1 in 100 event, and your resilience of being a young person, I'm presuming you're young, are you?
I'm 47.
But the resilience, how do our young people, how does any young people been resilient to this? They ignore it, or they can learn from it. But this is the biggest experience of our lives in 100 years.
So look, the flip side of that then, how about the greatest success so far, or the thing you're most proud of? If you could take anyone, this is one I love, if you could take anyone from Northern Ireland out for a pint, dead or alive, who would you take them and where would you take them?
Oh, I'd take Mae McFetridge.
Yeah?
on the funny side.
Yeah.
I'd take Paul Rankin, Michael Dean on the business side, because they were trailblazers. And then I would take the likes of Julian. Julian was the best guy ever.
Interviewed Julian Simmons a few months ago, and he was an absolute legend.
He was the best. He was the best guy ever. And do you know what? I was on a plane, British Midland plane. I think it was British Midland. And there he was.
Really? Wow.
Man, he was the best. You have no idea of the characters you've got in Northern Ireland. It's just extraordinary. They're getting a touch older now, but I'm sure there's new characters that are shining right through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, how have you seen, this is a question we always ask as well, you know, we've touched on it slightly, like, how have you seen Northern Ireland change over the years, and what's your hope for us moving forward?
Oh, mate. Really? I mean, Northern Ireland is extraordinary, and we have always known through the Troubles what a hidden gem it is. People have now seen it. The future is so bright as long as the politicians can get together. And as we know, they're doing their very, very best. Extraordinary people are the full Northern Ireland. The problem is how you still pull them and weave them together. We've done that. Integrated education, for me, is the way forward. And I understand how people will push against that, especially the Catholic education system, which I come from, but I rebelled against and put all my kids into the gorgeous Stramulus primary school and Methody and all those things. And the more of that can happen, the better we will be, as long as we can weave together, because weaving together means I meet a Protestant girl. We get married, and then they break down the next thing, and that's what integrated thing happens. Because do you know what? There is good people and bad people. It's not Catholics and Protestants. There's good people and bad people. And, you know, if we can do that, I reckon we're all okay. Now, you can also say to me, that's all right coming from Australia. So, and I understand that point. Yes. And I can understand the fact that it's all right me preaching from here. But I know this much, that the more integrated education we can do, the better. And I understand that your listeners might not agree with that, but I don't care. I live in Australia.
Yeah,
and I also come from the Malone Road, so I understand the abuse of the golden silver spoon.
Exactly.
That can come with that. And the responsibility I have is that I talk to a lot of Catholic friends and a lot of Protestant friends, and I go, guys, you need to harden up. Let's get together. And the one thing out of Brexit that does give Northern Ireland is a unique opportunity. We're still working it out. A unique opportunity to be superb in the European GB mix. And don't listen. Do not listen to the fact of politics here. There's money to be made, and people are sniffing it out as we speak.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
But the key is, I think in terms of IT, I think in terms of positioning, for Europe, and thankfully, intelligent people, smart people, and a really, really highly educated workforce, which Northern Ireland is, they are in an absolute perfect position to really do the maximum out of this. I mean, it could be extraordinary. It could be like a goldfield time. KPMG putting all their people in there. I mean, it's just extraordinary. I just see it as, oh my God, I want to open up a pub in Northern Ireland because all these people are going to come over and train. I mean, how good is it?
Oh man. Look, two more, okay. First one is, what's an opportunity that you're really glad you took?
Oh, I'm knocking down the old butt to the big butt, because nothing else would have happened. Firstly, no confidence. So confidence is a really, really interesting thing. Confidence comes from success. And, you know, when people wanted to get into our place, Cutter's Wharf opened, Donnelly and Devlin, all those things, I realized I needed to react. And so I reacted well. I built a bigger thing. I couldn't stash the cash quick enough in terms of the initial thing. And then I bought Fly Madison's, then went down to the city center and went, oh my God, city center's got nothing there, even though it did. But other than that, there was nothing there. And I says, oh, bugger this. We should have a vibrant city center. So we opened up the apartment and then went with Q's wig and whatever. But it just showed me that, you know, it's not about people following me. It's a case of Northern Ireland deserved better. And unfortunately, when people were blowing up things and we were building things and Bill Woolsey came in, just extraordinary, because we wouldn't have done it if there wasn't money to be made. And for me, it's always about the Yankee dollar, but a bit better than that. You know, it's about people coming up and go, oh my God, you opened up this, or you opened up this, thank you, or whatever.
So look, final question, you'll be glad to hear. The interrogation's almost over. This is a question we always end every episode with, and it's just simply this. If you could go back to, you know, an 18-year-old version of yourself, you know, if you had a few minutes of an 18-year-old Jazz's time, what sort of things would you say to him?
I would probably look back and go, I didn't miss an opportunity ever because I'm not that smart. I surrounded myself with fantastic people, fantastic staff. I ran a different thing that allowed people to believe in me, even though, you know, I'm so useless in terms of that space because, you know, I can guide, I can think, but can you tell me after all these years of 58 years, can I pull a cocktail? I can pull a cocktail, but with great difficulty. But what I do try to do is try to help people along the way. And I want to apologize to anybody that I've offended in my life back there. But I think a lot of them would say that, do you know what? I tried my best. And I think that's the key sentiment for you, because I just tried my best. I tried to surround myself with my best. I'm a flawed individual that just tried his best. And I think that's it. And I have a really, really heartfelt belonging to Northern Ireland, even though I live in Australia.
Unreal. So yeah, look, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for spending this time with myself and Jazz. I really hope that you enjoyed it. I had an absolute blast. It was a joy to hear some cracker stories from the past. And it's also just a good reminder to kind of hear, like, you know, how much things have changed. And obviously we're in the middle of the pandemic and stuff, but you know, I think big picture wise, we do have a lot to be grateful for. There's a lot of work to be done, but it's also nice just to have that wee moment of reflection to see how much work has gone before us already. So yeah, look, if it's your first time listening to Best of Belfast, you can check out over 180 conversations just like this one with really interesting people from Northern Ireland. You know, Jazz has mentioned Julian Simmons and May McFetridge. I'd recommend checking them out. It's a great place to start. And other than that, I just want to give a big thank you to NI Connections for making today possible and for connecting us with Jazz. And again, you can head over to their website at niconnections.com to find out a ton of information about moving to Northern Ireland or coming back home or setting up a business here and all the logistics that's involved in that. You can also sign up to their monthly newsletter where you can connect with other great people in the Northern Irish diaspora or around the world. And other than that, Jazz, I just want to thank you so much, man, for your time, and good night to you. I appreciate you staying up to do this interview.
Thank you for all of this.